Okay. So today, what I'm thinking, it's funny, Emil and I were talking before the others joined in, and we were talking about one of our friends who does another Course in Miracles class, and the whole theme of Thanksgiving, you know, giving thanks. And it's funny, I thought about that, but my mind didn't care today.
Hello? Hello?
I guess Seema left.
No, we should, maybe we can wait. Maybe she got disconnected.
No, I'm here. I'm here. Okay, so, actually, you know what, let me just do one thing. I'm sorry. I think, you know, it's so funny, like, I think, hold on one second. Okay, so what I was thinking, in the spirit of the idea of Thanksgiving and this week, you know, with the holidays, obviously we could spend time on that, and maybe that's something we can talk about, you know, later on. What was coming to me really more was to take a little bit of a step back from the principles of attitudinal healing. And today, like, I've been on my side, I've been really trying to make it very practical and give you applications. But today what struck me was that how about looking at something that can happen between ourselves and someone else in our lives that gets difficult, like an upsetting situation. And, you know, with the holidays coming, maybe we're going to be around family more. And people, sometimes the holidays can be tricky because there can be triggers and things come up and how do we handle that? Or perhaps, you know, we're going to spend the holidays in a different way than we normally do, whatever. So it can just be, a time of celebration, but sometimes it can, you know, we're doing a lot, so it can be a time of more stress. So what I was inspired to do today is, most of you know about The Course in Miracles, and it's this book that really, if you think about it, it's a systematic way to learn how to manage your mind. So that's what I've been sharing with people. Like when people ask me, like, what is this coaching for inner peace? And I say, well, like you have someone to help you, you know, let's say manage your accounts or portfolio or, you know, manage your financial stuff, or you go to a doctor to manage your health. So I feel like I see myself as someone who's helping people manage their minds in the most, you know, productive, efficient way possible, because, you know, your mind is probably the most powerful tool, most valuable asset, you know, that you have, like just the functioning of how you see, how you feel, how you perceive. So in the Course in Miracles, it's like there's lessons every day to help you systematically kind of, train yourself or kind of into a feeling of peace. That's the goal. So I'm taking lesson 6, and the title of the lesson is I Am Upset. Actually, you know what? Nope, let me go back. I'm going to go to lesson 5. I'm never upset for the reason I think. So the lesson is, I am never upset for the reason I think, and I will send you guys a link to the lesson. So just listen, and I'm going to read a little bit from the lesson. This idea, like the preceding one, can be used with any person, situation, or event you think is causing you pain. So I want to stop here, because usually when we say I'm upset, and something is upsetting us, that's how we say it, right? We say, this happened, and I'm upset because blah, 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 blah. So I'm upset because someone said something, or someone didn't do something, or this happened. We're so accustomed to thinking that my upset is coming from outside of me, right? Would people agree with that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how we see it, right? That's how we see it. So, and that's exactly where we lose our power. That's exactly where we lose our power, because if you think about it, with the days, you know, the kind of lives we lead, and, you know, depending on how busy we are, and depending on, you know, just from getting up in the morning to, let's say you're commuting somewhere, let's say, you know, if you're working somewhere, let's say you're staying home and maybe taking care of your children and work and then come home and do that, and then let's say, you know, you're hopefully probably living with some other people, and then let's say you're listening to the news or watching, you can imagine how many situations you're going to get upset, right? There could be so many situations, right? I mean, from interpersonal to things in the world, blah, blah, blah. And so that would mean that I'm always at the mercy of things around me, right? Because something is always happening around me. And if I have a certain vision of how it should be, and it's not, then I'm upset. You know, and so what we do is we put the cause of our upset outside, and we say, okay, this is the cause, this person, this situation, this job, this relationship, you know, this lack of a relationship or lack of a job or lack of, you know, you fill in the blank, right? So because of this, I'm upset. And what this course, like what it says is that, you know, your whole thinking, our whole thinking is upside down. And so it's trying to righten it up. And it's so opposite to how we've been, you know, trained. And that's why sometimes it's so difficult, because there's just this way we've been raised to think it's outside of me. And so we get very busy trying to fix all of these things. But we all know that there's just too many moving objects. There's too many variables, you know, and we get exhausted. So the course is saying, okay, I'm never upset for the reason I think. So it goes on to say that, and I'm gonna get into this a little bit more, but that you can apply this to whatever you believe is the cause of your upset using the description of the feeling in whatever term seems accurate to you. The upset may seem to be fear, worry, depression, anxiety, anger, hatred, jealousy, or any number of forms, all of which will be perceived as different. Okay, do you think in that list, does everyone feel like all the different upsets they could have are pretty much covered, or is there something else that you would add?
What was the question? I'm sorry.
I said like the upsets would be like fear, worry, depression, anxiety, anger, hatred, jealousy. Does that pretty much cover the upset that we would experience, or are there other things that you would add to that list?
Do you want us
anything
to define
that anyone?
Are we defining the cause, or we're just discussing the feeling?
Yeah, no, what I was trying to say is that it's a pretty comprehensive list, right?
If
you think of your feelings, right? It's pretty comprehensive. I mean, feelings of fear, feelings of worry, feelings of depression. We're not talking about what's happened, but our response to it. Okay, Sharon?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So it's pretty comprehensive, right? And it's saying that what the course is trying to say is, like, you have all of these premises, and you built all of these premises, like you stack them one on top of the other on top of the other, and then you have this belief system. And so it's systematically like asking you to question all of that one by one by one. So we're trying to say that, okay, maybe there's a different way. Maybe, you know, because remember in attitudinal healing, we talked about this idea, the essence of our being is love, right? The essence of our being is love. And many traditions, spiritual traditions, talk to that and talk about that all the time. You know, love is like central. You know, the Dalai Lama talks about, you know, he doesn't have a religion. His religion is human kindness, you know? So another way to say love. So on one hand, we have this lofty ideal of love. And on the other hand, we have all of these emotions we're feeling. And it seems like we're at the mercy of all these things happening. So you just start to wonder, like, this doesn't make sense. I mean, how can both things be true? If I'm love, but I'm always feeling this way, and it always seems to be something outside of me, this is not connecting. And so the course is, like, trying to loosen you a little bit. So it's saying that the cause, so it's saying I am never upset for the reason I think. So I think the cause is outside of me, but actually the cause is in my interpretation of what I'm seeing, you know? And the way I like to think about it is, like, I don't know if you remember when you're in school and sometimes you were doing a problem, a mathematical problem, and maybe you couldn't figure it out or whatever, but somewhere you saw that was the answer, and then you would look at it and you could kind of work backward, you know? Like, you knew this was the answer, so you could kind of work backward and say, oh, okay, I see where this is going. You know, you still had to do some work, but you knew that's the direction you had to go. So I want to say that if the essence of love, if the essence of our being is love, that's kind of like our goal. Our goal is to know ourselves as love and to see love. Like that is our goal. So that's kind of where we're aiming to. And then all of these other things are like kind of in the way, you know? And even before we can do anything about them, we have to start looking at where is the cause, you know? So if the cause is outside of me, then there's really, you know, I've lost my power. I've lost my power. And then you have to say that means that were we created this way, that we would be powerless and helpless and, you know, a victim. And so it's all like loosening these ideas. We're not trying to say that, you know, it always makes sense to us, but the whole process is to let's loosen up from, you know, what our assumptions are. So I wanted to share with you, because I had this experience today where I had an upset with one of my friends, and it was just something that a close friend, and it was really, you know, it was in a situation where I was feeling upset, you know, I was feeling sad, I was feeling hurt, I was feeling, you know, like a sense of being attacked, like criticized, and I kept thinking that because she said this, or because she didn't do this, or because she did do this, I'm feeling upset. So I was putting the cause outside of me, and then here I was feeling what I was feeling. And so usually what happens is if we stay there, then we start to make a story. Then we start to go deeper into what that person said, and we tell someone else about it, and we try to get them to agree with our story. And so what's happening in the mind is like we're making these pathways. Like if we were to look at our brains, you know, we were to look at the nerve pathways, we're like making these pathways with each thought. Everything is like building, building, building until it becomes like a perception. You know, it just becomes a perception. And then even if that person isn't around us when we think of them, those pathways start to fire. And so I'm sure you've had this experience if someone has upset you or if you have a memory of them, whatever. They don't have to do anything. They don't even have to be around you. You can create them by yourself in your mind, you know, and you'll have an experience, right? So if that experience was upsetting, and you've collected these ideas, and they, you know, the neural pathways are all, you know, they're wiring together, they're connected, and something stimulates. It could be a photo, it could be a thought, it could be a song, it could be, you know, like a scent or something, and immediately, and that goes for positive and negative. I'm not saying it's only negative. So so what happens is, like, it just gets more and more solid, and so it becomes more and more like it's out there, and then maybe, like, what I was feeling with this person, like, I started to feel like, oh, my goodness, I don't know how to handle this. Like, and often when you're in a place where you don't want to handle it, sometimes you can feel like, okay, you know, maybe I'm just going to kind of withdraw. Like, I'm going to, so we're different. Some of us, like, might charge front. I tend to be, like, you know, which isn't good either, but I tend to kind of, you know, like, say, okay, I'll just step back. And so luckily, because this friend and I are both, you know, we're on a similar self-exploration, spiritual path, et cetera, you know, we were able to have a heart-to-heart discussion. And then we realized that she had ideas of what I had said or what I was doing, and I had ideas of what she had said and what she was doing, and we really were like seeing each other through these filters, you know, and they weren't filters of love, weren't filters of love. So because, you know, we have this friendship and we have this, not lose this friendship, and so, you know, and our desire for love and peace, so we really just stayed with it. You know, she would say something to me, and I would listen, and I would say something, we would listen, and we would really try to invite the presence of a guiding spirit in and just say, you know, please guide us. And it was so interesting to me because I kept thinking about this lesson, and I'm never upset for the reason I think. So I realized that when I was feeling, you know, that she was being critical or whatever, what was happening is, she was showing me where I was afraid of something. I was afraid, and so this fear was inside my mind, but instead of me, like, sort of, you know, really acknowledging it or looking at it, I had kind of just projected it, and so she was there to show me this, you know? So if anything, as we kind of went deeper, and there were similar things that, you know, were happening on her side. So, you know, this lesson was so helpful because if I had stayed at the level that, you know, I'm upset because blah, 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 then potentially, you know, it could have gone really bad. You know, it could have just been more distress and more upset and more of all of that. But because this lesson was coming up for me and I had this desire, like I explained to you, for healing and all of that, and then also, you know, I connected with other, like another friend, and I asked her, I reached out and said, you know, I'm struggling here and I need help. And really she just reminded me again that, you know, you're here to see love, feel love, and know love. And whenever we are upset, whenever we see a sister or brother who's upset, I mean, they're in a place where they've forgotten who they are. They've forgotten that the essence of our being is love. They've forgotten. And if one person can start to remember, that can help the other person. And, you know, we talked about that idea, all minds being joined. So to me, the other thing the Course said, so I wanted to, again, talk about that cause and effect thing. So we think the cause is outside and we think it's affecting us, when really the cause is within our mind. And what we see outside is an effect. And that's a big one. I mean, as I shared with you, you know, I study this and I'm sharing it with you and I'm reading and I'm talking to people all the time. But, you know, it's like this addiction to see the problem that's outside. There's like this perceptual addiction. That's what one of my teachers says, David Hoffmeister, that when you have like those the 12 steps programs, you know, and people are dealing with some sort of, you know, substance abuse or whatever addiction, they'll sit down and say, I am so-and-so and I have, you know, this addiction or this problem. And he says that if we're working to kind of manage our mind, that we should sit down, you know, and say, okay, my name is Seema and I have a perceptual addiction. And I really like that because you take ownership of it. You take full responsibility for what you're seeing. You take full responsibility for your state of mind. You take full responsibility for what you're feeling, you know, and that gives you the power. So that effect thing is like such, like I said, there's just this, you know, you just want to put it out there. You want to put it out there. And it's not even you. It's that kind of that ego part of your mind, the part of the mind that's in fear, you know, the part of the mind that's just, you know, just kind of insecure, unsure, doesn't know what it really is, all of that. So that thing was really important, the cause and effect. And also that once we start to see that the cause is inside of me, I can make a choice. I can choose to see this differently. And also, like, as I was relating to you, you know, for me, I don't see it as like, okay, I'm doing it. I just see it as like, I want to be peaceful, I want to see love, I want to know who I really am, I want to see that love everywhere around me. And so I really call upon, you know, my inner guide. I mean, I really constantly am asking for help. you know, help me see this differently. Please help me see this differently. Show me. And there are times when this was happening for me, because it's so fresh in my mind, that it was really uncomfortable to be with these uncomfortable feelings and not put it outside, you know, just to stay with it, just to be with it. And Emil probably can share this, but it was like this feeling of like, okay, I am this presence and I'm watching these thoughts. I am not these thoughts, but my mind would start to feel, but no, I am upset. I am feeling angry, and I could watch, oh, I'm going into the story. So that's the part about managing the mind. You know, it's like riding a bicycle. When you first start, you often fall. As you get better at it, it gets easier, and then it gets second nature. So managing the mind is no different. It's a skill, and there's different parts of it, you know, different parts. So so it's okay for it to look uncomfortable. I think that's the other thing. Sometimes people think attitudinal healing or, you know, this whole thing of like, you know, thinking positively, it's always going to look like happy, 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 and you're always, you know, you're wanting to uncover everything that stands in the way of that, right? So whatever you're feeling, you know, once you're aware of it, you can use it towards that process. You can dedicate it to, okay, I'm going to let this be for healing. Not for separation, be for healing, and then invite that inner presence, your inner guide, God, whatever you want to call it. Also reach out to others because, you know, that's helpful. And so it can be, you know, I just wanted to point out that just because it, like for me, I think what was helpful is I saw myself, like, feeling like I had to act on something, you know, like I had to make this better. That was the other thing. Like, I just was so uncomfortable with this separation. And that was the other part that, you know, sometimes it's just training yourself just to be with what is and wait and be asking for help. And I know it's not something we can do, like, if we're in the middle of working or we're taking care of a child. I mean, sometimes it's just hard to do it. But, you know, to give yourself that time, because it's so worth it, because it'll really help whatever situation you're in, and the other person will receive that, and eventually, you know, whoever else is around you will benefit. So that's kind of my piece. I'm never upset for the reason I think. And I'm going to stop here, and I'm just going to, you know, pretty much a couple more people have joined us. Do you guys want to introduce yourself?
Molly.
Hi, it's Mary.
Hi, Molly. Hi, Mary. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Thanks for joining us. Yeah.
Ema, I'd like to say one thing to what you were the topic is tonight in your presentation.
Okay.
I think the lesson actually refers to the fact that we all have, in any situation, we all have expectations.
Mm.
And I think it's because of the expectations that it's because of us, it's because of the expectations are inside of us, and when they're not met by the other person or the situation that we're involved in, that's where we find that we're looking to the outside for the cause of the problem, when the problem is really inside of us because we expected something that didn't conform to what really happened, to the reality of what happened. And therefore, we get upset. We say, well, that person didn't listen to what I was saying or didn't hear what I was saying, and they criticized me for what I was saying, but they didn't realize that I meant this or whatever. And it was the expectation that person was supposed to understand exactly what you were saying and get it right off the bat, not criticize you, or so to speak, in situations like that. And it's because of the expectation you had that you were right and you knew what you were saying and they just didn't get it.
Right.
And that's what causes you to have the, not you per se, but I mean that's what causes people to have the problem, is because they expect something that doesn't turn out the way they expected it, and it's, they always say it's from the outside, but it's not. It's because of their expectations, how that was supposed to turn out, and it didn't turn out that way. That's what I had to say.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. And it just speaks to that whole thing that we are so habituated. See, it's not to say, like, okay, we need food, of course, right? We need water. You know, we need a warm environment. We need to feel all those things. And, you know, if we're in a situation where we've been hurt, you know, we need someone, you know, probably to attend to us. But I think what Emma is referring to, and Emma, you can comment on this, is like this this place where we feel like, and we all do this, we feel like we need something from outside of us to kind of like feed this like this emotional void. Like we have this like emptiness, like this, you know, this place that like something has to feed it, something has to feed it. And we just get so busy trying to get that fed, you know, from something outside, whatever it could look like, relationships, or, you know, some people could be with issues with substance abuse and all that stuff. So, and it is like that constant expectation that it is outside, and then it gets more particular, like it should be this way with this person and that way with this person. And so, again, it gets so complicated. It gets so complicated, and we just have to be careful. It doesn't mean that you know, you're in a situation and you're being hurt or, you know, I don't know, physically hurt or emotionally. I mean, it's not to say like, oh, okay, you know, that's all good. It's not to say that. But, you know, they have shown, let's say, I noticed for like women who've been emotionally abused or something, or physically abused, so they'll be in one relationship and then it'll end and then they'll get out of it. And they will fall into another situation with similar dynamics, and then another situation. So it's just showing that there's something inside us that, you know, actively participates, and that's where our power is. So if we can start to, wherever we are, if we can start to sort of see that and kind of, like, accept that responsibility, then, you know, then we can have a better experience. Because why? Because we will see it differently. And if it's a situation that's not healthy for us, we will be able to, you know, move out of it or, you know, get help or do whatever. But we will do it from a place of strength. You know? Yeah. Anyone else wants to say something?
The concept of relating it to addiction, I'm just trying to understand that correlation. I guess I can see, you know, you kind of have this addiction to wanting to point fingers at external things as the cause of why you're upset. But
mm-hmm.
How does that change how we look at it? Like what? I'm just trying to understand kind of the point of making that correlation.
Yeah. The point was that the habituation is so strong in us that it's outside of us that you really have to be very firm with yourself in saying that you want to see this differently. You really have to want to doubt how you're seeing things. You know, you want to feel like there's a different way to see it. You want to feel like I've seen it this way, not because this is the way it really is. So for a person who's, you know, drinking alcohol or using a substance, they're very convinced that they have to have this to feel okay. Right? They have to have
mm-hmm.
this. Right? That's just
mm-hmm.
so wired, right? It's so wired in them. And, you know, and people, when they're, if you've heard, right, when they go through a detox process, how they have to be supported sometimes in a hospital setting because it can be so difficult for their body, They can have all kinds of reactions. And, you know, they need to be supported. And they're given, you know, different medicines while they're coming off of that, you know, alcoholic high or whatever. So it's a whole thing. So there's got to be some turning point in your mind that says, why does an addict stop using, or why does an addict want, you know, at some point when some people say, you know, they have to reach that rock bottom or whatever, but, you know, what I've experienced, you know, as a doctor and just in my, you know, let's say client situation or, you know, family, things like that, when I've seen that, something hits you where you feel like you want your freedom. You know, this thing outside you just has so much power. Right? Like that, the drug or the alcohol or you know, anything. I mean, anything can get addictive, really. Internet surfing, you know, watching video games. I mean, you name it. There's so many different possibilities. So at some point, something happens where you're like, I want my power back. I don't want to feel helpless in front of this thing. And I think that's the part that's saying that You have to acknowledge, first of all, that this whatever it is has power over you, and that's kind of, you know, the addiction thing. Like, it just has this power. You've given it this power. And the second thing is you want to reclaim that power. You want the freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Seema?
Is that, yeah.
Can I say one thing? When I was talking about expectations and how that could be a major addiction and a major problem. It's only because your ego identification that it separates you from the other person and you're not connected. And that's why you have expectations, is because of your ego thinking that it thinks that I am separate from you and that I, my personal self, no better than anyone else because of my ego. And that's why you put expectations on things. And when your ego is actually the one that gets hurt when the expectations don't conform with what the ego expects. And that's why it's coming from within you, because it's because of your ego and your ego identification, I think. That's what I think.
So, but Emil, I have a question for you. So, I've interviewed Emil, and I've known him for a while, and I'm going to ask him to share something which I think might be helpful. So, Emil, you told me, like, after you lost your wife, after she died, that you talked about this thing that couples share where there's, like, this wiring that they're so used to being together that when that doesn't happen, there's really, like there's a real pain, there's a real loss. But, I mean, obviously we know there would be pain and loss. We would anticipate it. But you were talking to me how you started to understand it from, like, almost a neurological way with the wiring. Do you remember when we had that discussion?
Yes. And I
said... Yeah, do you want to... Yeah, tell us about that.
I said this. Because when you lose a loved one, you feel what they call grief.
Mm-hmm.
And grief is only... Well, it's the fact that your brain, the neurosensors in your brain, have developed and get charged every time that they see the loved one that you've lost. They
Right.
get charged all these years that you've been with this loved one. So when this loved one is no longer there, the neurosensors... The grief comes from the fact that the neurosensors are looking for this person to stimulate them. And when this person no longer is around to stimulate them, the neurosensors they get very confused, so to speak. And
mm-hmm.
as the years go by or the time goes by that person is gone, little by little, the grief goes down because the neurosensors in your brain starts suddenly dying off. Not all your neurosensors, just the neurosensors that recognize that person and that were stimulated by that person that loved one that had been in your life for so long, and they start dying off, and that's why people's grief starts getting less and less as time goes by, because the sensors die off little by little, and then eventually all you will just have is memories of that person and memories of the things that you've done together, but they will no longer cause pain because of the fact that the stimulating neural sensors have practically all died out. I think that's what that's the way I feel, and I'm quite certain that that's what I said.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's fine. Sharon, was that helpful? I thought that might be interesting for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I thought Emil explained that really nicely. And he's had an experience, so, our experience is a powerful teacher. So, speaking from that place. Anyone else? Anything else that anyone wants to add?
Sammy, you were talking about, and Emma was talking about expressions, and what brought it's Molly. And all I was thinking was expectations. When I think of expectations, I think it kind of generates fear hugely.
What do you mean?
Easing God out, you kind of identify what you want. It's what you want, and if you don't get what you want, then you have that fear. So it's like fear of not you want. It's what you want. You get you attach to what you want.
Right.
Attachment right. part to it. And then you were talking, the other discussion was about addiction and certain things about things along those lines. But I think, and then that reminded me of the word choice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So different words, the word choice, making choices from minute by minute. I mean, you can't really get, I'm going in two different directions. I think for the most part, expectations, let's go back to the expectation thing and the fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that always is what's gotten me in trouble in the past, but whenever mm-hmm. I've found myself in that place and recognized it as what it was, and not attaching myself to it and letting go, mm-hmm. and letting go of that expectation and choosing differently is always what has worked for me and helping with expectations.
And I think sometimes I don't know, sometimes when people hear that with expectations and we say, okay, the essence of our being is love, I mean, sometimes it can be scary because it could mean like, well, does that mean like, anyone can do anything to me? Like I should just, just be kind of, I've heard people like when we have these discussions in other settings, does that mean like I'm just kind of a doormat and people just whatever? And, it's funny because we think that we can control things. So we think that, we can sort of like make things happen for us. And that's how we're raised, right? And here we're talking about, right, we're talking about power. But it's subtle. It's really subtle because, like when we're clear on who we are and when we're clear on our worth, our value, and who we truly are, then we just have a different way of seeing things and people pick up different things from us. We approach things differently. So it just sets into motion a whole different experience, and we don't go trying for it. It just seems to happen. It's like a byproduct. What happens is when we turn it around and, when we make it about getting something done or expectations or, this is what I want, this is how I want it, this is when I want it, and we get our focus on that, then, like I said, there's so many moving parts. There's so many moving parts, and at some point, things will fall. It's like a card. You built it on cards, right, like a house of cards. At some point, it's going to fall. It's just a matter of when. So this whole way of thinking can seem really radically different, depending on where you are with it and all of that. Yet I think it's like, just step by step, just kind of saying that whatever I'm facing, there's a way I can be peaceful right now. Like right now, I can move towards that, you know. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that next week, like the idea of being in the now. But it's just like starting little by little. Like I've heard people say when you're kind of moving your mind this way, it's like a plane. And if you can imagine how much force sometimes it takes, you know, think about a plane, a huge plane. It's on the ground turning it, you know. It would be a lot just for it to turn a little, you know. So just kind of just bear that in mind, you know, that these ideas that we've had about relationships, about expectations are so wired in us. You know, they're just so wired. And so it does take time, you know, to kind of move that. Does that make sense, Molly and Emil? Does that make sense?
Well,
yeah.
I think as far as expectations goes, I use this simple example. When a person is married and the husband comes home from work for 20 years and there was supper on the table every night. One night he comes home and there's no supper on the table. For some reason, his wife didn't make supper that night. Well, you have a choice. Your expectation is supper. You can you can get angry about it, or you can fix supper for yourself and not cause a scene. But the expectation was that there would be supper there. And like I said, like Molly said, you have a choice. You can fix supper for yourself or and your wife, for that matter, because you are expecting her to fix supper every night, and she doesn't tonight, so you can fix supper for the both of you if you choose that course. And that would be, I would think, would be the course that should come from within. Now, the course that would come from without is you could be angry and jump up and down and say, well, where's my supper?
Right.
So Molly was absolutely correct. You do have a choice on how you're going to perceive that kind of a situation. But the fact is, I think it's driven by your expectations that you should have what you think you should have.
Yes.
And if you put it in the right perspective, you would choose the inner solution, which would be to fix supper for you and your wife. And I guess that's my answer.
That's choosing love, Emma.
Yes.
Yeah. And the choices are, so it's either fear or love, right? We've talked about that.
Yeah.
There's only two choices. Yeah, it seems like there's 100 choices, right? But it's only
three. There's only one choice.
You only have one. You're right. After a while, you see the other choice doesn't get you very far, right?
Actually, there is another choice. You could take your wife out to dinner.
Yeah. That's about two.
So I'm reminded about Krishnamurti. He's this very famous teacher, Indian teacher, and he taught a lot, like for many years in India and also overseas, I think in the U.S. And there was some place some people had gathered because they said he was going to give them all of his teachings like in a very simple form. And they were really like, you know, had been studying with him and really admired him. And they were all like, okay, this is going to be. And he was like, you know, like this was just going to clear everything. And it was going to be, you know, whatever their expectations were or whatever he was going to say. And so he got up on the podium and he said, do you want to know the secret to my peace and happiness? Like the secret, you know, the secret of secrets. And they said, yes, master, please tell us. And he said, I don't mind anything. That's my secret. I don't mind anything. And so, you know, nothing complicated, right? Nothing complicated, you know, and there's like something in us, I think, I don't know, like I remember, you know, in the West, like, I remember, like, I would go to India, and I would come back to America, and I would see, like, in India, like, you would have so many things. Like now it's different, but I remember like 2015, 20 years ago, the electricity would go out, or, you know, you'd have to heat the hot water in the morning, like when it was cold. And, you know, those are just things that were just, that's what it was. You just had to do it. And then I know you'd come here, and like you had one day where that wasn't there. You'd be like, oh my God, this can't be. So you see how expectations, like, they define your experience, right? They define your experience, and they're the filter through which you see them. But the beautiful thing is that expectations are inside you. They can be changed. You know, that's the most powerful thing, that, you know, if I'm upset, it's not for the reason I think. It's something internal to me. I can make a choice. The choice is fear or love. My goal is peace. You see how it's so systematic and how it's so logical and it's so organized. And, you know, really, it's like a child can do this, you know, when you start to see it. That and it's going to lead you to a much better outcome. Whereas if you go the other route, I'm upset, my wife didn't make the dinner, this is bad, you know, she should have, and now what are we going to do, and this is awful, and then my life is awful, and, you know, you can see where that can go too. Emma gave a good example, so we're just playing with that.
Well, I can give you another good example too.
Okay.
About what you're just saying. Now think of life. Think of life as you being in a room sitting on top of a fireplace in front of you. And life is laughing at you. And why is he laughing at you? Because life will tell you. It's so easy and simple. But you are making it so hard. And that's why he's laughing. And that's what you just said. People tend to make things hard when they're really easy. Just like the choice that I gave you between taking your wife out to dinner or making dinner. I mean, it's an easy choice to make the right choice. It's not difficult. It's just that we make it so hard, and probably in 99 out of 100 cases, the person would choose to get angry because dinner wasn't on the table. But the other choice is much easier, and it puts less stress on you, and less stress is always good.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. Very good. No, it's true. It's true. We do want to, we want to see the simplicity. We want to acknowledge, you know, that I think it starts with what you want, you know, like, do I want peace? Do I want joy? Do I want happiness? It's all possible. It's all possible. Yeah, good, good. So, anything else? We have about 5 minutes. We started a little bit later, but you know, it is late in the day, so I like to try not to go over. But we have a couple more minutes if someone wants to share or say anything else.
I just was getting back to, like, we're so the habituation to see it the way we've always seen it is so strong. And I guess, you know, I think about different circumstances that I think anyone would agree, you know, it's, you know, upsetting, you know, the death or, you know, divorce or, you know, things that, like, logically are going to bring upon negative emotions. I mean, it's all what you do with it and how you choose to look at it. But I guess I struggle to say that has nothing to do with the cause. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you're saying that certain situations, I'm not sure, what I'm hearing is that you're saying that certain situations in and of themselves would be upsetting no matter what. You're saying?
Kind of, yes. Like you're saying the cause is always internal and it has nothing to do with the external, but certain circumstances, like, you know, your child gets hit by a car and dies. I mean, clearly that's something that is external that is causing the pain. And then you have to choose how you're going to manage your mind to heal from that. But, you know.
Yeah, so I'm gonna bring Emil on again because I'm reminded of something he said. And I always like to, like, you know, we can talk about hypothetical stuff, and hypothetical stuff is not very helpful, like I find. But, Emil, I want you to say, if you could tell me, do you remember when you shared with me, and actually this is, I think this is on, there's an interview that I did with Emil, and it's on the website, and I just posted it, so you guys can look at it. But do you remember when your wife had passed away, some of the thoughts that were in your head about you're upset and lost, do you remember what you were feeling and how it was more than just her loss? Do you remember that, what you shared with me?
Well, one of the things that I felt initially was it wasn't really about my wife. It was about myself. One of my initial thoughts were, what am I going to do now with myself?
Okay.
And then I thought this too, because it was really on my part, it was kind of really selfish, and I thought about it after. And I said, well, geez, I didn't worry about whether my wife was going to see her grandchildren grow up and get married and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. All I thought about was myself and what was I going to do for the rest of my life now. And,
okay. Yeah.
I wonder, is that what you were?
Yeah, I was, yeah. And so, because like I said, the rest of the interview is on there, and also we just have a couple of minutes. But the reason, Sharon, I just wanted Emil to share that because he experienced, you know, this loss, right? And what I'm just saying is that you're upset. It's like if you stay in that, everyone would feel this way, this is just how it is, and so this is what it is, that sort of thinking, it covers what's really going on, you know? And I'm really kind of grateful to Emil because he's so precise in what he's saying, and he's so honest with what he's sharing, that, you know, we would say, okay, someone's lost something, it's my goodness, and so, you know, this is bad, and he's saying, yes, but I'm kind of in this place where I'm realizing that I'm still kind of, you know, in this ego space where I'm thinking about myself, you know? And there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that because he, like, I'm impressed, you know, Emil and I have known each other because I like when he's so honest and precise because there's no covering. There's not saying, okay, it's this. And that's why when you're upset and you think it's outside, it's still not what it looks like. There's something else. And if you can just even start to open your mind to that and what he said, it's just that it's going to give you a way to be with whatever it is you're facing. No one is saying, you know, going through a loss of a wife or a loss of a child. Or, I mean, no, who would say that? That would be heartless and cruel and crazy. Right? But we still want to acknowledge that there has to be a way to heal. It can't be that we have a problem and there isn't a healing for it. I guess that's where I am. You know, there has to be a healing. There has to be healing. And so show me the way to heal. Does that make sense? Or at least, I mean, you know, I know it's tricky, but do you sort of see where we're going with that?
Yeah, I think the example that he just shared about, you know, kind of it's not the incident itself, it's how you internalize it and then make it something different, you know, and so it's always more than what meets the eye or what you think it is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because these blanket statements, it's always this way, or of course it's going to be happen. You have to be careful. Everyone's experience is different. And you know, I've shared this. I've seen people who've divorced or who've separated, or I've seen people go through things, and they'll say they have more love for each other than they did when they were in the marriage. I've heard that. you know, and I've heard people where it is awful, you know, and 10 years later, they're still whatever. Or I know Emil shared with me that he had gone to this, you know, grief support group, and there were people who were 6 years, 7 years, 8 years still grieving. You know, so we each can have our own experience. No one is wrong, no one is right, but we don't want to assume. This is the tricky part. When you make assumptions, then that will be your experience. So what experience do you want? You know, and so that's where I say that's the choice for love, the choice for healing, the choice for peace. Those have to be active choices. We have to realize that. It's so important to realize, like, you actively chose to come onto this call. Right, tonight, you're actively going to, you know, tomorrow morning maybe get up, go somewhere, maybe drive. You're going to make an active choice to get into the car. The car is not automatically going to get you to wherever you're going, right? So think about how active, so you really want to make active choices in your mind. That's my desire, to empower people so they see what they're choosing and then decide, okay, I can choose again, right? I can choose again. I can choose differently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we're already a couple minutes over. So I just want to wish everyone a really happy, safe holiday, and you know, just kind of grateful for all of you to come together and share, and you know, ask. There's the asking of questions, the answering of questions. It's all, you know, it's all one. I see it as all one of one mind, kind of just healing. So I'm very grateful for these opportunities. And, you know, I look forward to continuing to share more and learn more also.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'd like to say happy holidays to everyone.
Yes. Happy holidays to you, too. Yes.
And talk to you next week.
Okay. See you all next week. Okay.
Thank
Good
you.
Night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.